The revelations of the Me Too movement have raised serious questions about how men are raised to understand consent and their own sexuality. The new book, Respect, is the first guide to sexual health and relationships built around consent. Inti Chavez Perez draws on his vast experience as a sex educator to lay out how to build positive, respectful relationships with friends and partners, and how consent factors in at every stage, from introducing yourself to having healthy sexual relationships with others. Again, the new book is Respect, and we welcome Inti Chavez Perez to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Give us an idea of how one becomes the Swedish government's appointed expert on sexual health.
Well, you work for over a decade with sex issues, and you travel Sweden year after year after year, meeting teenagers, answering their questions, and in the end, you cannot get a name. If you do that, try this. If you want, if you want people to know who you are, do this for 10 years, and I promise you, they will remember you.
And we don't want to take your job away. I'm not looking at that. I'm just asking generally how one, because it seems that that is a very specialized profession.
Yeah, okay. So Sweden, we have the world's oldest tradition of sex education. We were the first country in the whole world who implemented obligatory sex education in our schools. So we have a long tradition of that, and you could say that I come from this tradition, but I am trying to renew it a bit. So I talk about there's a grown-up agenda and there's a teenager agenda. And sometimes we tend to put too much weight on the adult agenda. We don't want teenagers to get STDs. We don't want teenagers to get pregnant and so on. And then we forget the teenagers' agenda. And that is that they want to build meaningful relationships, and they want to maybe try some sexual things and don't know how to get about it. So I would say what differences me from maybe the tradition is that I'm more teenage agenda, not a bit less adult agenda.
So one of the questions that I was thinking about as I was reading the book is that what you seem to prove here, among many other things, but just a side note, is that these issues are universal. This, even though you're talking about Sweden and you're looking at different pressures, I read this book without even that knowledge directly, and this fits in for any male, American, European, or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the issues, they are quite universal because, I mean, we have bodies, and when we enter puberty, those bodies change. And we all have sexuality and an idealized idea about how that sexuality should be. And then we get into painful thoughts about, am I wrong? Am I a pervert if I get turned on by this swimsuit commercial on TV and so on? So I think that boys and men across the globe, I think that we share them.
The first words in the book are, is my dick normal? A question in regards to, is the guy's penis normal? Now, I find that an interesting place to start because it just begins there that there is a concern that we are sexually normal.
Yeah, and if you speak with teenagers, this would be like the top most asked question, is that they wonder things about their genitalia. Like, why is it darker than my other skin? Or why is it full of dots? And so on and so on. Why do I see my veins through the skin of my penis and so on? And oh my God, also all these questions about, you know, it being a bit like not being straight, it being curved, up, down, right, left, and so on. It gives so many questions. I don't think that is strange. I think that is quite normal. Like if you don't get educated about how your genitalia works, of course you will ask yourself if there's something wrong with you. I think that is quite, I mean, for me, it's very mature of guys to dare to ask that kind of question.
You, in the beginning chapter, you have a whole thing on how to masturbate, the ways to masturbate, and give percentages of different ways that boys and men masturbate. These are things that probably people are doing and need some validation to know that other people are doing this as well.
Yeah, because otherwise it's so easy to feel that you are different. And the most humans, I would say, they start, they get into sex starting with themselves. They start having sex with themselves before they find a partner. And it's interesting because you have to kind of get to know how your body works. And then after the teenager maybe has done it, sometimes they think, oh, but could there be something more to do with myself in the shower? Or I don't know, there are so many things you could use. And so they start getting creative about the sexuality with themselves. So masturbation is not something just that you do with your hand. It can be done in so many other ways. And after a while, they can have a feeling of shame because they have trespassed what they believe is normal male masturbation. So they wonder, oh my God, right, am I a sex addict? And the answer is no, you are not.
Well, and you have this several times in the book about how not to feel bad about masturbating, how not to feel bad about porn, how not to feel bad about having sexual thoughts, how not to feel bad having an erection. This comes several times in the book about feeling okay about things that are perfectly normal.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why people treat each other badly and condemn each other is because they actually are worried about themselves. So maybe a guy would say, oh, girls don't have a right to our sexuality. Or they would say, oh, I hate homosexuals. Kind of stupid things like that. But actually what they are trying to get out of their bodies is the shame of themselves being wrong and doing forbidden things. So, this kind of working with this shame can also bring not only good things for that boy, but also for people around him.
The name of the book is Respect by Inti Chavez Perez, and the name Respect. So tell me a little bit about why you called it that and what ultimately you were looking to accomplish with this guide for guys.
I don't know if you have you ever felt that when you go out, you have like a, oh, I don't know what it's called. You know, the in the medieval times, there were, you know, these like Sir Lancelot and so on. And they had this metal thing on their body. What
yeah,
is it called?
It's armor. Armor,
okay, right.
Body armor.
So have you ever felt, have you ever felt like on the morning when you're going out from your home that you're putting up an armor around you? That I would say that is very, very common, that we have an armor. It helps us not get hurt. But when you meet somebody else, and you start to try to have a meaningful relationship, you will have to try to start removing your armor to get a deep and meaningful connection. And the only way to do that is to build trust. So I would say, in a way, that respecting others and respecting yourself is a kind of way of thinking and also a kind of way of living. But what I mean is that if you do it, other people around you will have the opportunity to take off their armor because they will not be afraid of being hurt or damaged by you in any arbitrary ways. So in that sense, I would say that respect is a very important component in love life and sex life. I would say that that's nothing that is talked about in male media. So that's what I wanted this focus.
And with that respect, obviously, comes consent, which is very much a concern and has been thankfully brought into the conversation much more than it ever has. Do you feel that young men are being equipped with that knowledge in a correct way of knowing what right and wrong is and what consent is?
Yeah, so I'm trying to make a shift. We have a tradition of saying no is no. And what I want to say, guys, is you need a yes. If there is no yes, then there's no consent, and you can't do anything with the other person. Using the word yes instead of the word no, it demands another kind of communication that is a lot more active. If you say to somebody, you have to stop if somebody says no, then that means that they actually don't have to work with communication at all until somebody comes and says no. And what I'm saying is that people, they say yes, but what does a yes mean? A yes could mean, yes, you may take off my bra, but does that mean that you also can take off this person's trousers? You don't know that. Yes, it demands so much more active communication. And that's what I'm trying to teach in this book, how sexual communication works. Because when people have sex, unfortunately, they tend to communicate without words. So I kind of try to translate the sexual communication into words for teenage boys to read. And I think that, of course, if you have no experience of sex, it's going to be quite hard to learn all this by yourself. So having this kind of translation, I think, can help lots of guys understanding sex communication.
The book is very inclusive because it talks about situations that would be appropriate for young boys, high school age, adolescents, of course, teenagers, and then into young adulthood, as well as to young men who are interested in sex with women and young men who are interested in sex with other men. It is a look at pretty much, I can't find anything that's not in here as far as looking at a situation that a young person would be in. I assume that comes out of a lot of experience of working with a lot of young people.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So I'm constantly touring in Sweden and Norway. I would say that I want this book to be a book that can kind of follow you. So it's kind of like a friend or a big brother, and it can, like, you can read it. In the start, it's a lot about your body and masturbation and like social tricks, how you do if you want to speak with somebody and you feel shy. And in the end of the book, we're talking a bit more about like relationship problems and so on. Maybe the reader has had a partner for 1 year and the honeymoon is over and things start to be a bit difficult. I want that because this book is not only a collection of these are the good behaviors, this is how you do things in bed. I want this book to be also like a compass, like because I think many guys wonder, who should I be? Who can I be? These like important existential questions, we do not talk about them. And at the same time, we talk about what men should not be and that men are monsters and so on. So in that way, I want to be more like a companion to the reader for a long time.
Do you think, and I don't know what your thoughts are, I sort of alluded to it at the beginning of our conversation, but I was talking about the universal nature of this book. The rap on Americans has been we're much more sexually repressed than those in Europe and other places in the world. I ask the question not for that reason, but more for, do you find that the youth that you talk to in Sweden and elsewhere are more willing to discuss these issues with you openly?
They are, but never at the beginning, like never at the start. At the start, teenagers will often look at me as, what is this adult here for, and what is this going to be, can we even trust this person? And they usually want to test me, so they set me onto some kind of tests to see if I get shy if they say something like, oh, but I saw that there's something called BDSM porn, can you? Or something like that. They will ask something like a bit extreme and a bit maybe crazy, and they hope to see me shy away. But since I can just manage that in a very good way, and I can say that, oh, if you want, we could speak about how you use communication skills in BDSM sex, and how to, like, where not to hit somebody when you want to spank them and so on. We could speak about that if you want. And then they will be like, oh, my God, this guy is actually serious. He's actually going to listen to me and answer to my questions. And then the real questions start coming out. So I wouldn't say it's not – you don't get trust for free. You have to earn trust. And it's especially so when you're working with teenagers.
And this guide is obviously for guys. How would it be different if it were for women?
I don't know if it would be so very different. It is a book for guys because I think that we men, we don't speak enough with boys and teenagers. I think that we are somewhat embarrassed because all that is in this book, of course I have lived it. And of course our adult male listeners have gone through all of these things, and we have been jerks sometimes, and mm-hmm. we have been with male friends who have done stupid things and we didn't dare to say stop and so on. So I would say that many adult men, they are a bit embarrassed and therefore they leave boys alone. So I felt that there was a need for a male voice talking with boys because there are so many women talking with boys and they do such a fantastic work. I think that it's splendid, all these women working with boys. But I thought that there was also a need for a male voice.
I just pick up on something that I thought was interesting that you just said of a lack of talking between young men and kids and even adults about sex and without the bragging or the stories. And I mean, one of the things you say in the book is you know, only believe a portion of what you hear from your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe not even a portion, you know.
Right.
Maybe it's all just a lie.
But this is different than that. I mean, this is different than the bragging. This is actually having a conversation as to, okay, this happened to me last night. Has this ever happened to you?
Yeah, we need these kind of serious conversations. I would say that many boys, they speak a lot, and they speak a lot about sex, but all that they are saying is nonsense. If you start listening, really, really tuning into what they say, it's more that they project an image of themselves, and they do not speak about what is actually in their hearts. And in their hearts, it's there's the insecurity, and there's this big, big longing for the closeness with another person. But to say that would be like opening up to admitting that you are vulnerable. And that would sometimes be seen as unmanly.
Did you, and this will be the final question, but did you learn a long time ago that you can't, it was not something that you wanted to do, and it wasn't helpful in judging in any way? That if a kid does tell you they're doing this or that, I'm watching this kind of porn, I'm doing this, that you don't judge and scream and yell. It is a conversation then as to what is happening and go further into the subject.
Yeah, I would recommend not to scream or get angry. If you happen to get to know that you have a son and he maybe has watched online porn, I would not recommend you to get angry about it. I would also not recommend you to actually spy on your son to like watching his browser history or kind of stuff like that, but give him space. And if he wants to speak about it, then I would always start by listening, and because when you listen, you get to know what is this person thinking about. It could be that he is troubled because maybe he thinks he spent too much time using porn, for example, or it could be that he feels estranged from what he thinks could be a normal male sexuality, and so on. You don't know what is the issue until you have actually listened to the boy.
And this ultimately is a guide for guys. It is, and they can pick it up themselves. Parents can give it to their kids. Although, you know, if you're a parent and you're giving it to your kid, I mean, it does tell you how to take a pic and the best way to put on a condom. They have to be comfortable with that, I assume.
My recommendation would be buy the book and put it in the living room. And your son will see that it's there. And when you are not home, I promise you that he will read the book. And if he has friends over when you are not home, I can also promise that they will start reading out loud together on the couch.
Sorry, it's a guarantee. The name of the book is Respect, Everything a Guy Needs to Know About Sex, Love, and Consent. The book is published by Penguin. Inti Chavez Perez, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure having you on the
program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.